This is Capital Access. I'm Paul Braun. Governor John Bel Edwards held his traditional year-end press conference last week. It marked not only the end of 2019, but the end of his first term. His core message?
Our state is now operating from a position of strength, not the position of weakness, where we were 4 years ago.
The Democratic governor touted budget stability, GDP growth, Medicaid expansion, all familiar talking points from the campaign trail. And his plans for 2020 sounded awfully familiar, too.
As you've heard me say before, investing in education at every level is going to be a key priority for me in my second term.
Edwards has some unfinished business when it comes to education policy. Last session, he pushed for and won spending increases for early childhood education and higher ed and locked in a $1,000 pay raise for public school teachers. But there are three buts. First, even with the raise, public school teachers are still paid below the Southern regional average that Edwards hopes to match. Second, the increase for early childhood education was just a fraction of what state leaders say they need. And third, earlier this year, the Board of Regents introduced an aggressive plan that calls for 60% of working-age adults to have a college degree or professional credential by 2030.
We kid ourselves if we think we can get there without net new investments in higher education.
Whether or not the governor gets those investments will depend on budget negotiations this spring. That's already a contentious topic at the Capitol. In recent weeks, House Republicans blocked the Revenue Estimating Conference from adopting an official forecast, again.
This is just the second time that this has ever happened since REC was created, and it's the second time in 2 years.
The move prevents Edwards from submitting a budget plan in February that includes an extra $100 million that the state is expected to have, money that he would need to fund his priorities. Last year, a higher revenue forecast was eventually adopted. Republicans and Democrats came together and passed a budget. But the months-long standoff slowed everything down. Edwards is also returning to a pair of initiatives that failed during his first term.
We're going to go into 2020 with a minimum wage of $7 and a quarter. That is abusively low. It's not a meaningful wage. Similarly, we weren't able to get the legislature to agree to address the largest gender-based pay gap in the country, a pay gap that quite simply is offensive.
Edwards' agenda is familiar, but the legislature he has to get it through is not. There will be 61 newcomers next session. Republicans have controlled both chambers since 2011, but this class is a deeper shade of red. The GOP now holds a supermajority in the Senate and fell just 2 seats short of that mark in the House. Also, term limits forced out many of Edwards' more moderate Republican allies. The right turn is already affecting the races for Senate President and Speaker of the House. U.S. Senator John Kennedy and State Attorney General Jeff Landry are publicly urging House Republicans to pick the Speaker without any input from Democrats. Edwards criticized that as a move toward what he called Washington, D.C.-style governance.
Just look at Congress and see how that's turning out for us. It would be a tremendous step backwards, in my opinion.
Earlier this month, the Republican caucus chose Representative Sherman Mack from a crowded field. He's the front runner, but it's not a done deal. Many Republicans say they're not comfortable locking Democrats out of the process. Edwards, for his part, says he's already met with Mack and several other candidates for leadership roles. Before Edwards took office, the governor handpicked legislative leaders. His expectations are lower now.
The only thing I ask for is leadership that will work in good faith.
The race in the Senate has been quieter. Lafayette Republican Paige Cortez is expected to take over for the retiring John Alario. For Capital Access, I'm Paul Braun.
Support from Southern Strategy Group, Governmental Relations in Baton Rouge, and the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, educating classrooms on renewable food, fiber, and fuel systems.